Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. The following is the Spirit World Center podcast. If you have any questions about the spirits or training, you can visit our website at spiritworldcenter.com. And now, please enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the Spirit World Center. Today, I am joined by Anna Schmidt, and she is the host of the Perfectly Paranormal podcast, and she's also a paranormal specialist and house healer. And Anna loves educating the public about paranormal beings, especially those that may seem dark or demonic. And she loves showing that they're actually a natural, energetic part of our environment, and that they're not as scary as you might think. She finds that they play a key role in balancing universal energy. I find that Anna has a very grounded and wonderful way of looking at this spiritual ecosystem that surrounds us. And she has a very ethical and positive way about going about house clearings and house cleansings and helping people work with these beings and with these energies. So it's a privilege to have Anna with us today. How are you, Anna?
Hi, Eric. It's great to be here. I've been looking forward to doing this interview with you.
Ah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being here. So to start things off, Anna, what can you tell the listenership about you, about your path, and also how do you help people?
Okay. A lot of people are psychic, but they don't realize. So I've always, right from childhood, even sort of as far back as I can remember, maybe 4 or 5 years old, waking up with someone tapping me on the shoulder or tugs on my blanket or my bed light would be flickering. I slept with a light on till I was about 12 years old because I just didn't know what these energy beings were. So I've always had an awareness of what's around us. So my primary sense for understanding these beings is feeling, which is interesting. So feeling in the environment, feeling the changes in the environment when there's paranormal beings around, whether they're spirits or elementals or the lower vibrational beings. They all exhibit a different vibration, a different frequency. So I grew up and had a normal sort of lifestyle. You know, you get married, you have a family. And I didn't really fully engage with my psychic senses and my spiritual self until I was about 30. So I don't know what the key turning point was. I think it's always been there, and we sort of squash it down with the normal everyday life and routines when you've got kids and school and families and partners and so forth. But I kept coming back to it. I found I was learning to do tarot and numerology and palmistry, but they didn't fulfill what I felt my true path was. They were great, and I loved helping clients, giving readings, but it just, there was something missing. There was really something missing. And I've always, and I don't know why, I've always gravitated towards the lower vibrational beings. I feel that they're misunderstood. People, they get a bad rap from the movies, from books, from graphic novels. People love the paranormal drama. And I just felt, you know what? I have always worked with, in my working life, I've always worked with the people that struggled. It's mainly children because I worked in primary schools. Always had what I used to call the tricky kids, the ones that no one else wanted to work with. I felt for them. I don't know why I understood them, but I think I wanted to give them the best start that I could through working in a school. So I've always worked with the underdogs. That's the word that is coming to my mind. So the dark energy beings, they find me fascinating because I'm not frightened of them. So they can use all the tactics in the world to try and scare me off from doing a house clearing job. And I'm just like, it's okay. You're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be harmed. It's just time to move house. And I'm very ethical, like you said, about the work that I do. If I go to visit a friend, I'm not going to instantly start doing a house clearing. It's all about the permission to do the work. I don't have permission if I'm going to visit someone just for a cup of tea and a chat. My spidey senses, or my paranormal senses, as I call them, I'll be aware of what is in the home. I might get physical symptoms. I might have brain fog, or I might start coughing randomly. just for not any medical reason, that's one of my physical signs, is if I get a really sharp gagging cough, there's something in the house or in the location. I just observe. So I'm an observer until I am employed to do that work. Never, ever be unethical, because you don't know what you're changing in that person's life path, in the house's life path. But like I said before, I feel energy. It's interesting. Items, objects, people, locations. Houses talk to me. Furniture talks to me. I know that sounds weird. People may be rolling their eyes right now. What I'm picking up on is the vibrations that have been left behind by the people that have handled that furniture, maybe slept on it, maybe sat on it. It may be jewelry or beds or chairs. It's fascinating when you're aware of what is in our environment. You actually change your perceptions about the earth reality that we live in. Spirits, people think that they have to go and do paranormal tours at haunted locations to connect with spirits. Yes, there may be a bigger, what I call spirit hub. There might be a bigger group of spirits at these locations. But generally, spirits roam the earth doing what they want whenever they want. They're in and out of our homes, just observing most of the time. Sometimes they visit friends, family, relatives. That's the spirit level. The darker energy beings, they're drawn to homes and other locations and items because of what we as human beings, with our energetic imprints and vibrations, what we leave behind in items. I've cleared jewelry, furniture, clothing, houses, cars, caravans. I worked with a parrot yesterday. So as much as I clear homes, I also do personal energy clearings for people and their pets. It's fascinating what we create with our emotions. A lot of people like to think that love and light, you know, everything's love and light and the world's wonderful. That's half the story. We are also energy beings that go through life experiences, life traumas, life challenges, where we create grief and sadness and sorrow and loneliness and abandonment and a whole plethora of different emotions. Everything that we sit in, touch, handle, our cups, iPads, computers, everything that we interact with, we leave an imprint behind. And I can walk through supermarkets. It's really funny, quick short story. Walking through a supermarket one day, I felt fine until I got to this one particular aisle and I'm heading towards what I wanted. All of a sudden, I stood in what I call a dark patch and my mind went. I couldn't remember what I needed, what I wanted. I felt uncomfortable, had a sick feeling in my stomach. I wasn't sick before I went to the supermarket. It was stepping into a pool of energy that had been left behind by someone else. And these pools of energy attract dark and demonic level beings. Now, I talk about these beings openly because dark beings are the lighter, more mischievous. They're just wandering around playing with the electrics, you know, slamming doors, all sorts of things in the homes. The demonic level beings are not what you see in the movies. They are simply a denser energy vibration, and they're attracted to their favorite emotional imprints. So if you're someone that creates a lot of hatred or a lot of judgment or a lot of resentment, you're going to have around you or possibly in your home energy beings that like that vibration. And they're really not interested in you. They want that food source. I call it energetic food. So what I do as a house clearer, I live in Tasmania, which is a little island state at the bottom of Australia, right at the bottom of the world. I work worldwide with my house clearing, is that I tune into people's homes through the address, a floor plan of the home, a photo of the front of the house. And obviously I've been employed to do the work. I've been paid the fee to do the work. I work anywhere in the world, Portugal, Spain, China, Japan. Doesn't matter, because energy is omnipresent. And it's all about intention. It's all about your intention to tune into that home, to do that energy clearing, to help the clients. So Homes are interesting because, like I mentioned, they are a pool. They had these pools of energetic imprints in every room, every piece of furniture. When people buy a new house, they do a walkthrough and they, I really like this house. This is lovely. They may come back a second time. Feels great. It feels light. It feels inviting. It's like that until they move in. Now, not every home is like this. I'm just giving examples of how I work and what I see. Most homes will have some level of emotional imprint buildup, sometimes trauma imprints, which are the actions that have happened. Domestic violence, alcoholism, traumas, stroke, that sort of thing all leaves an imprint as well. But that's trauma imprints. Mostly I talk about the emotional imprints. So homes are really fascinating when you tune into the energy of what is there. I'm actually a paranormal addict. I talk about it openly. I live this lifestyle. It is 24/7, sometimes 365 days a year. It is what I do all the time. So through my podcast and through my website, through my YouTube channel, I just share all the time about the realistic aspects of the energetic environment around us, mostly regarding the dark and the demonic beings, because I want to take away the fear about them. I want to take away that fear of they're not what you see in the movies. That's what I call paranormal drama. It's actually what I call paranormal horror. It's designed to create fear, paranoia, stress, anxiety. People create those emotions. They're watching a movie in their favorite chair. What do you think they're going to leave in the chair? All those emotional imprints that are then may affect them or their family members or the cat or the dog that might sit in their chair. A friend might come into the house, sit in that chair, all of a sudden feel really fearful and not know why. So I help people understand how all this works. Now, I'm not a book writer, but a few years ago, my spirit team pushed me into writing two books. The first one, called Your Psychic Self, it's like a 6-week self-help guide to get people into understanding how their psychic skills work, what their main skill is. Like mine is feeling. So I work with that. So the second book, which is my favorite book, is called The Darkness Around Us. And it's what I call a handbook to understanding the darkness so you live in the light. And when you understand these paranormal beings, yes, you might still be a little bit fearful of them, but they're here for a reason. They've got a job. And they're only in your home because of what the family, the current family is creating, or what's been left behind by previous tenants.
That's absolutely fascinating introduction to house clearing and also your gifts. You mentioned something really curious there, which is that when people enter a home they're considering it to buy, they can go back once or twice and they love the feeling of it. Would you say that in those times, the energies or the entities there are kind of hiding? They want, you know, the fresh meat of this new person, and they're kind of making sure they're not felt? Or what do you think is happening there?
I think people, when they're not aware of the energetic environment around us, they can walk into a home, they want it to feel good, because they love it. They might like the structure of the home or the way it's decorated or the garden. They want it. So they don't want to think about that little niggling feeling that might be in their stomach going, oh, don't go in that room. Oh, that room feels weird. Why does that room feel weird? It looks good. It smells good. New carpet, new paint, beautiful furnishings or whatever's in the room or the home. They're just not aware of this low vibrational energy that is all around us all the time. But once they move in, and pets, wonderful sign. Pets won't come in the house. They're hiding under the furniture. All of a sudden they start lashing out when they're not normally a pet that might scratch or bite or hide under the furniture. Or I had a dog once in a house that as soon as the family moved in, wouldn't even go in the house. Like, why won't Gypsy come in the house? Gypsy decided she was going to live in the shed because the shed felt much better. She was quite safe out there. They fed her and everything out there, and she was quite happy and quite comfortable. But they're like, Gypsy, come in the house, darling. Nope. The dog would not go in the house. It knew. It could sense. Animals are very psychic. They're just aware. They haven't been socially manipulated. That's not the right word, but you know where I'm going. They haven't had their, I'm not very often lost for words, but they haven't had their senses sort of dulled by the daily lives that we lead, going to work socially, you know, families, bills, all that. They're not encumbered by all the responsibilities that we have. It sometimes squashes our psychic skills. They're just open, like seriously, they know what's in a home. They can just sense it. So when people move in, this is a classic sign. If you feel uncomfortable in your house, you feel unwell in the mind, you're arguing with your partner and it's not a normal thing, the children are arguing, people's eating patterns or sleeping patterns have changed. When you leave the house and people go to school or go to work, you feel great at work. As soon as you come home, it's like you're walking into, like you're being covered by a blanket of energy that you can't see. Why do I feel uncomfortable now I'm back in the house again? And the arguments start again. And it's just people can't tangibly understand it because they can't see what the problems are. Now, paranormal beings are in houses all the time. It is just spirits come and go visiting and so forth, like I said. Sometimes the lower vibrational beings will roam around a house because there's been particular imprints that have been created, say depression. Someone has lived in a house for a very long time and they felt depressed all the time, didn't get meditation, didn't get help. They're constantly pumping out that vibration of depression. It's going to be in the lounge room where they sat, in the kitchen where they prepared their meals, in the bathroom, on the toilet, in their bed. And people come into these houses and they don't feel it initially, but then why do I feel depressed all the time? They go to their doctor, they have all the medical treatment, they see a mental health professional, kind of helps a bit when they're out of the house. As soon as they come home, I'm so depressed, I've got no energy. It's all about the people that have lived in your home before you. Now, there'll be people out there going, oh, my house is brand new. And I get that. But I also clear the land. I learned this very recently in the last 10 years of my 30 years, coming up to 30 years of doing this work. I will clear the land first. So I will download a little picture off Google of just that property. I don't want to look at the neighbor's property. And I'll divide the land, depending on the shape and the size, I divide it into different areas. I'll go through each individual area, clearing all the emotional imprints, all the trauma imprints, any portals, any black magic that may have occurred, any detrimental energy that is present. And I listen. I listen to the land. Like I said earlier, houses talk to me. It's not nice. A lot of the things that I see aren't nice, but they'll show me traumas that have occurred in the home. I've seen domestic violence. I've seen people abused by alcoholism. I've seen people who've been in really depressive states, self-harming. And I don't see it as a movie for more than maybe 3 or 4 seconds, but the house is showing me this is what we need to clear. Please remove all this energy. So I go through the land, all the outbuildings. You'd be surprised what people get up to in their sheds. I've had a lot of cases where people have been smoking the green stuff in the shed or even growing it in the shed. Sheds have really dark secrets sometimes. It's really quite interesting. I like, because remember the paranormal addict in me? I want to know all the details. So when I do my house clearing and my land clearing, it is very, very detailed work. I'm a little bit OCD. I like to check, double check, triple check. The reason is if I work on a home for 5 days and I'm tuning in, say, day 2, day 3, I go back and check all the work that I've done because when there's been a lot of trauma in the land or in a house for a long period of time, there can be layers like an onion. You've got to take off one massive traumatic layer. And the house goes, oh, I feel better now. Right, now let's do layer two. So it's very, very detailed in clearing these homes. Like there's no other way to do it. There's a lot of house healers out there and we all have our own way to work. But I find I really do get very, very positive results.
I like that, approaching it in layers. And absolutely, just like healing a person of attachments and energetic blockages, it's like an onion. There tends to be things deeper that you get to after that first layer. I love approaching a house that same way. That's wonderful. And yeah, that completely makes sense that when you first are viewing a home, you're excited about buying a home. You're looking at all the nice things. You're not listening to those subtle clues, those subtle signs. But an animal certainly is, your pets certainly are. So that's absolutely fascinating. So getting into some of the experiences then that you've had over the years, what can you tell us about the lady in the cupboard?
Oh, the lady in the cupboard. This is a local Tasmanian house. And the lady employed me to clear her family home. She has two homes. She works at either end of our state. So she lives in this other home occasionally. There was one particular room in this house that had a really nasty smell. Now, sometimes paranormal beings will drop what I call stinks. It can be a rotten carcass type smell. It can be a rotten egg smell, a sulfuric gas type smell. And she said, this room, as much as you would look at it, it was clean and tidy. Nothing visual that you could see. Like we always do the debunking. I never ever assume anything is paranormal, ever. Even though I'm a paranormal addict and I want it to be paranormal, I always do the debunking. So I hadn't been to this house and she'd sent me photos of the house and I tuned in and I went, okay, this particular room is right in the middle of the house. And I knew intuitively I had to leave it till last. So I went through my process, cleared the land, then I ask permission to enter the house. I always do this before I enter the land as well. I didn't mention that earlier, but it's all about respect. This work is about respect. When I clear the land, sometimes I get the Aboriginal elders in spirit form will come through and want me to do a particular clearing on the land the way they want it done. And I'm like, absolutely. I work with the land energies. If they want it done a certain way, they'll do it in their reality. I do it in my reality and the angelic beings will chime in and we cover the holistic approach when clearing the land. Now, this house, I looked at the floor plan because I'm kind of a weird, energetic, sensitive person. I don't know if there's anyone else out there like that. I can't look at the address of a home or a floor plan or the house until the day I actually do the job, because the energy starts coming to me. What's there that needs clearing? Maybe spirits, maybe elementals, the dark beings. Once they know you're coming into a home and you're looking at the house, they will actually come to my house. They'll observe me. They'll flicker the lights. They might poke me in bed, pull my blankets, trying to distract me. So I never ever look at the client's details until the day I do the job. So I'm looking at this floor plan because what I do is I mark the floor plan where I find the emotional imprints, portals. I don't mark paranormal beings because people don't need to know where they've been in the house. But you can tell by where the big pools of emotional imprints are. Now, the lady in the cupboard, she was interesting. So I'm working through this house and I kept looking at this room. It was an old storage room. And she said, there's a very interesting door that is now... it's been walled up, but you can see the outline of a door in this particular storage room. And I'm like, that sounds a bit sinister to start with. I'm like, could have been an old meat cellar, or maybe they used to keep the vino in there. Could have been a storage room, like a little cool room in the center of the house. Maybe it was a cool sort of center of the house where they stored their food and so forth. And as I'm clearing this house, I keep looking at that room and I'm like, nope, I need to wait till the end. The house is telling me it wants that cleared at the end. So we do the house clearing. Then it's time to tune into this room. The room itself wasn't too bad. The smell was coming from the demonic beings that were in that room, attached to some emotional imprints that was in this little cellar room that was right in the middle of this house. So I asked permission. I don't know why I did it again. I needed to ask permission to enter this little room. And as the words came out of my mouth, I heard, "Shh, he won't find me here." And I went, whoa, I don't generally hear spirits. Remember, feeling is my first sense. But I find that they will use their particular favorite method of communication. Some will show you images. Some will grab your arm or give you a little touch on the shoulder to go, "I'm here, dear." This lady, she was very auditory. And as I'm sitting there going, wow, I heard it again. And she went, "Don't tell him I'm here," or "shh, he won't find me here." Wow, the paranormal addict in me is going, yeah, this is interesting. When I tuned into that room and that particular spirit lady, she had been hiding in this house from her husband when she used to live there. Now, the current lady who was living there, their family had lived there for like 40 years. And she said there'd been lots of arguing and lots of disruptions and lots of strange things that happened in that house over those 40 years. And they just couldn't understand why particular things happened. The house was riddled with domestic violence that had been induced by alcohol and the mental health state of the husband that had lived there. Now, the lady didn't pass away in the home, because I always ask the questions very detailed, because I find to clear the energy in the home and to help the spirits transition, I need to know the detail. Remember, OCD, like the detail. And she just kept saying her statement over and over again. And when we had a conversation and she felt comfortable with me, I actually find spirits will come to my house and I'll be looking at my laptop and my iPad doing my notes and looking at a picture of the house. They'll actually walk through the wall in front of me. And what I see is like a wavering sort of vibration. It's really interesting. It's interesting to see. And I've done the debunking, so I know that it's not lights from outside the house or anything. It's this strange sort of wavering energy in front of me. And we had a conversation. And she said that she'd passed away many years later after her and her husband had divorced and she'd moved out. But she didn't know where to go. And the only place she'd ever felt safe when she was alive was in the cupboard. So she'd gone into this little space and she'd been there for about 45 years, I think she said. Could have been less, I can't remember exactly now. But she was more than ready to transition. No one had ever tuned into the house. No one had ever shown her any, she'd never had any happiness in her life. She was just very, very sad. And how do I know that? Because when I clear spirits, like when I clear homes, I go through all the emotions. I asked her, "Do you have any emotional imprints that you would like to release?" And I worked with releasing the attachments of sadness and sorrow and despair and abandonment and neglect, and also the trauma imprints that I'd seen, which I won't mention now because they're very graphic. But she was more than ready to go. She hadn't found someone to actually help her, because she wasn't ready to leave the cupboard. She's like, "I feel safe here. I feel safe here. No, I can't go anywhere." But I'd actually walked into that space energetically. And she's like, "Wow, this woman, she can see me. She can hear me." And she transitioned into the afterlife. Since she transitioned, the energy beings that were present in that storage room were like, "Well, Anna's removed all the emotional imprints from the house. The spirit who's trauma and neglect that they were feeding off, like, well, she's gone now, we're not staying anymore," and they left the house. Now, where do these demonic beings go, you're asking? People always ask me that. What do you do with them? I don't do anything with them. Because remember, you're talking about a very strong, powerful vibration, and you don't upset them. You work with them very respectfully. So I simply remove all the emotional imprints that are in houses. Sometimes these demonic, dark and demonic beings will want to release emotional imprints to actually leave the house. So I give them that gift. So in exchange for that gift, they leave the house, they leave the property. They're not allowed in my house or around me. They simply go back out into the human environment. Sometimes they want to transition into a place that's been put aside for lower vibrational beings in the afterlife waiting room where they can go and work on themselves. I get waves of beings that actually do want to transition, but 90% of them just want to go back out in the human environment because they love what we create.
So a big part of it then is removing their food source, basically, by getting rid of those emotional imprints. You are not giving them any ability to feed at this location, and so they have no reason to stay around.
Absolutely, and that's the simple, simple message. With house clearing, it is all about giving the house a full energetic clean. Emotional imprints, trauma imprints, any black magic, any addictions, any substance abuse. It's very, very detailed work. But once you take away their food, they're like, there's no point me being here. So they will work with you when you are ethical, when you use respect. You have to be kind, but with a firmness. Otherwise, they will walk all over the top of you.
It's one of these things where they are very powerful beings and definitely misunderstood. They are feeding on that energy, and they definitely have a certain vibe that comes with them. And at the same time, we as humans, we have the ability to do something about it, right? To cleanse our environment, it's like attracting raccoons by continually putting food on your back porch, right? So if you get rid of the food, they go back in the wild. Yeah, that's fascinating. And so you also cleanse, you were telling me about this actually the last time we spoke, and I'd love to cover it here. You refer to it as the marijuana house, and you definitely cleansed some energetic imprints there. Can you tell us about that?
Ah, yes, absolutely. This was a very recent story from probably in the last 2 months. Now, before we get into that, I'll just outline, we all have personal triggers. We all have something that triggers us. Now, it may be watching horror movies, it may be food, it may be recreational drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be smoking. We all have something that triggers us. Sometimes it's a crutch for us for particular reasons. Now, this house triggered a young lady who moved into it. So her and her husband bought this house. It was their dream home, like we mentioned earlier. They just loved it. It felt great. They felt wonderful. It was their forever home. Within 2 months, this young lady who had gone from maybe smoking a little bit of the green stuff at an occasional social event, she was smoking it every day and in every room of the house. Her personality had changed. She didn't feel like herself. The only way she could get some sense of calmness was to be smoking marijuana. And her partner found me through my website. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. The house looks great, but it doesn't feel right. He's very psychic. And people, as you said earlier, they have that excitement of buying a new home. You don't know until you actually move in and 18 months down the track and everything starts falling apart. And you're like, why is this happening? Well, she went from smoking marijuana every single day to totally giving it up after the house clearing. Now, her partner said to me, does she need to wean herself off it? I said, well, I'm not a medical professional. She may need to see a doctor. She may need to see a mental health professional. I never assume that I know what people need to do with their lives. I do the energetic house clearing. I will offer suggestions to see mental health professionals and so forth. But her urge to have marijuana simply stopped. Now, the house was 100 years old. There had been a male, or possibly males, that had lived in that house approximately 74 years ago. And I'm not sure the time frame, but that's what I was given with my dowsing, is I asked, when did this marijuana vibration first appear in this home? Now, sometimes it's not just marijuana. It can be other illicit type drugs. But generally, I find the green stuff is the one that is the most common in homes. It was approximately 74 years ago. There'd been a man that had lived there. He had mental health issues. I heard schizophrenia in my head. So I wrote that down for the client. This person that lived here may have had this particular condition. He, of course, had used pretty much nearly every room in that house with his family for however many years. I'm hearing 20 years. He was smoking marijuana in the shed. So I knew there was a vibration in the shed. I can just tell by looking at buildings the particular type of vibrations that are in them. It's just this weird skill that I have. So fast forward, like I said, to today, this young lady, once all those imprints were removed from the home, she no longer has this urge to have marijuana. She's just simply like, I just don't need it anymore. Now, this for her was a really good learning experience. So if she goes to a friend's house or she's out in public, she might go to a theater or she might go somewhere in public, all of a sudden she gets this really strong urge to have a joint. And she's like, I don't know where that's coming from. Because her trigger, her vulnerability is using recreational drugs, particularly marijuana, she knows that that imprint is in that location. Now, I did do a personal clearing for her husband, the house, and herself. So she is fully clean and clear of all energetic vibrations. So it'll be interesting to see in the next few months how she goes, because I do talk to the husband quite a lot.
That's fascinating. And so you feel that it was actually kind of a pattern of behavior that was stored in specific parts of the house that were triggering her. It wasn't like the spirit of the person who was there before was kind of living vicariously through her or anything. It was actually just a pattern of behavior that she was tapping into at different spots in the home.
Absolutely. Because if your bed is where that person slept and had their bed, the imprints are going to be in the floor, in the walls, in the ceiling. If you're sleeping in that person's bed, sometimes people don't remove their furniture. People think they're getting a free deal when they're sleeping on other people's beds and in other people's chairs. I'm like, no. Get it checked first. If you're sleeping in that person's bed, you're instantly going to be picking up that vibration. Now, when I say instantly, this is only for people who are energetically sensitive. We're not all energetically sensitive. I do a lot of work for a husband and wife team. She is so sensitive, very similar to me. The husband is totally impervious to everything. I don't know what he's wearing, whether he's getting around in his battle armor and everything just pings off him. He doesn't absorb any emotional imprints. Very, very rarely, unless he is triggered by an extreme situation. I've known these people for 5 years now. I've done one clearing for him. This other lady, I do clearings for weekly.
Oh my. Yeah, it's amazing the difference in sensitivities that people have. And so moving on then to your next story, you were telling me about a spirit who was angry that his friend didn't go to a funeral. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, this was from my very early days and I didn't quite know what was going on. It took me maybe 3 or 4 weeks to unpack what actually was happening here. A husband and wife contacted me. They're living in a little 2-bedroom unit. This is another local Tasmanian story. And there was someone standing in the hallway constantly. The children would be running up the hallway and all of a sudden they'd divert around this space, run around whatever was there and then just keep going. It's really interesting when the parents observe them and then ask them, what are you doing? Oh, there's a man there. So they didn't want to run through the man because that wouldn't be very nice. So they would go, they'd run up the hallway. There's a little children, like 3 or 4 years old, very aware of psychic. You know, children have psychic skills that haven't been sort of squashed by school and social society, basically. So children are very aware of what is around us. They didn't feel frightened of this man. He wasn't threatening. He's standing in the home, like he's in the hallway. And I went into the home, and like I said, it was my early day. So I went through my processes that I had at that time. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not understanding who this is. I'm just not understanding. I find when I actually go to the people's homes, I don't get as much information as I do from being in my home, looking at a photo of the property and looking at a floor plan. It's really interesting. I don't know why it works that way. I think I get overwhelmed by actually being in that location because I've got the houses next door. You've got the road out the front. Roads and footpaths have a lot of trauma on them, believe me. So when I'm out in the environment, I'm picking up on everything that is around me. Whereas if I'm in my workspace, which is very clean, very safe energetically for me to work in, I'm only focusing on that home. Anyway, there was a young man Now, he showed himself to me. Spirits seem to show themselves to me when I'm at home. He wasn't this wavering energetic presence. Actually, I saw him in, he was just dressed like your average 24-year-old. Jeans, sort of Converse sneakers. He had some sort of thick jacket on. He had been a friend of the husband. Now, these are all young people, all in their early 20s. He'd been a friend of this husband. This young man had died through a car accident. Very tragic, very instant. When he had his funeral, his best mate wasn't there. And there was a lot behind this. There was a lot of emotions behind this as to why his friend wasn't there, which we'll get to. So this young man stood with his arms folded. I just saw him standing with his arms folded, legs apart, just standing in the hallway, looking at his mate in the lounge room. Now, this friend of his wasn't psychically aware at all. No idea what's going on, but the wife was, and obviously the children were. And she's messaging me like, oh, there's demons in the house. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's a spirit. And I feel that this man was a friend of your husband's. Now, when I do this work, I always say to people, I don't do mediumship because I feel that mediums can turn it on, turn it off, tune into grandma or the auntie in the afterlife. Doesn't work like that for me. So I always say to people, I don't do mediumship, but if a spirit wants to show themselves to me when they're in the earth reality, I seem to be able to see them, hear them, feel them. They give me messages. So he never spoke, but in my head, I heard funeral and he's pointing at his mate going, he weren't there. He weren't there at my funeral. And I went, oh, because the husband's mug had randomly fallen off the top of the fridge. And there was a couple of other things that belonged to the husband that were having strange things happening. His car keys went missing. And I went, okay, so there is a spirit here who's trying to get the attention of the people in this house. And he's only targeting the things that belong to the husband. When I say targeting, I don't mean in a bad way. He's trying to get the attention. I'm trying to talk to, say, we'll call him Jim. I'm trying to get Jim's attention. Well, Jim had an eye-opening experience when I spoke to the wife. Jim wouldn't speak to me on the phone because he's like, no, that woman's a weirdo. We're not going down that track. So when I spoke to his partner, I said, okay, I don't have a name for you, but there's a young man in your home that is not going to leave until your husband acknowledges his presence. He wants to know why he wasn't at the funeral. And she went, oh, like I felt her energy drop. Like she went, oh, that's, we'll call him Chris. That's Chris who passed away in a car accident recently. So Chris is here. I'm going, yep. And he's not really angry, but he doesn't understand. He doesn't understand why his best mate wasn't at his funeral. So I thought, how do I handle this? Remember early days? I didn't know what to do with this because I don't generally deal with spirits. So I thought, what's the logical thing to do? Is I said to the wife, I said, you need to get Jim to sit, focus on Chris. I think I've got the names right. Focus on his best mate. I want you to see him in his mind. I want you to see him and I want you to have a conversation with him. Imagine he is sitting next to you and I want you to explain to him why you couldn't go to the funeral. And as the husband is listening through the phone, because she must have had it on speakerphone, he just went white. Like he knew he'd done the wrong thing. He felt bad about it, but he couldn't go to the funeral. He couldn't emotionally face the fact that he'd lost his best mate. So he was sort of carrying all those emotions and the guilt of not going to his funeral. And he's like, nah, I can't do it. I'm not psychic. I have no psychic skills. I went, okay, don't use that word. I want you to visualize your best mate is sitting next to you. You might each have a beer. You might be watching the footy. I want you to have a conversation with him. Explain to him why you couldn't go to the funeral. It's not that you didn't want to go. You just couldn't. So he had that conversation. He said he felt weird talking to nothing, like he couldn't see anything, because remember, people want to use that tangible sense. But afterwards, his friend was like, I understand, and I'm ready to go now. So he transitioned off into the afterlife to go and be with his friends, families, ancestors, and so forth. The mate, like the husband, he felt so relieved. He was crying, and his wife's on the phone going, he's crying. He never cries. But he needed to release that emotion. And that is one of my most memorable first experiences working with spirits. It was just fascinating, but it was beautiful as well, because I helped the husband to be able to verbalize his pain and release that through talking to his mate that was sitting next to him, and he just let it go. And his mate let it go. He let it go. I love this work. It is just so rewarding.
That is such a beautiful story. And I think it really shows the way that spirits can be confused after death. They can be hanging around for unfinished business. And so just that confusion about why weren't you at my funeral mixed with that unfinished business, the only thing keeping him there, and then he's ready to move on, right? And I love how in that encounter, it's not, he's not causing these things to go on in the house as a malicious way, but it's kind of like reminding Jim, you know, reminding him, you know, hey, I'm around, you know, I need to be acknowledged. And yeah, that's a really beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. So going on to one that almost sounds a little Norwegian, you had an entity hiding behind some stairs. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Now, this is fascinating. This entity behind the stairs, I don't know where to start with this. We'll start at the beginning. I worked as a paranormal tour guide for about 18 months at a particular location here in Hobart. It's a very old medical facility that has been abandoned since the year 2000. And there was a lady running tours. And remember, paranormal addict, I thought, being a paranormal tour guide, oh my gosh, I'm in my element all the time. Well, there was a particular being that was well known to live behind the stairs. Beautiful, big black wood staircase, absolutely gorgeous staircase. And there was this little nook, very dark nook behind the stairs. And people had been going to that building for years. Now we're going to head down the paranormal investigation of a darker kind here. These people would go and call out this entity, trying to get it to react, as they do. You know, they use swear words, they're disrespectful, they're invasive on the space, they're not respectful at all. Remember what I said? Mostly I work with the dark and the demonic beings. They like respect. That goes with everything. Spirits like respect, elementals like respect, and so do the dark beings. Well, this being would scratch people. It actually mentally affected one young man who was so rude, and I thought, well, you deserved it. It affected his mental faculties for about 6 months. He couldn't think straight. He had brain fog. He didn't know what was going on. He came right, but this being's like, right, I'm going to take my revenge on you. If you're going to be rude to me, I'm going to disrupt your life. So when we went into this building, this was one of the very popular buildings. We didn't interact with that being. We weren't there to cause him any issues. He simply lived on the location, and I found out why later on. So me, I'm curious, and I went and stood behind the stairs. We couldn't actually get in there to do tours anyway because the people that owned the property used it as a storage space, so it wasn't accessible. But I found a way to get in there, and I went and stood there, and I went, hi, my name's Anna. We're just here doing paranormal tours. And I know you've had some issues with people in the past being really disrespectful and not honoring you in a respectful way, but I just want to know that I appreciate you and I understand that you are here for a reason. We don't come behind here, so please don't feel threatened in any way. So this being took a liking to me. God love it. It was so lovely. So we would be doing our tours upstairs and in the front part of the building, and you'd smell this smell. It was the worst smell. It's like roadkill, 5 days in the sun type smell. And you're like, oh my goodness. People would smell it. Some would, some wouldn't. This was him. This was just his way of letting people know he was around. So after the tour's finished, I'd go home, as we do. There'd be something coming home with me. Now, he would travel in the car, but when I got home, there was a shift in the energy in the house. Now, this being was doing what I call observing me, because quite often I always reference dark and demonic beings. They will come and observe your energy. They'll observe your ego, the way that you behave. Are you ethical? Do I like you? Do I need to show you some retaliation? And I didn't have those issues. But this being, it's so funny, he would show me in my mind, and I knew who it was coming from because I could smell the smell. The smell was very distinctive for him. He would show me in my mind an offering basket. He wanted to be acknowledged through an offering. And I find through my very limited understanding of elemental beings, the nature beings in our environment, that sometimes they like offerings. I've had more experiences now and understand that this really works with them, to acknowledge them and to respect them. We as human beings give them something from our reality. So long story short, he ended up with a beautiful cane basket with a teddy bear from out of my bedroom that used to belong to a friend of mine. He's like, I really like that bear. Maybe he wanted something to cuddle up to. It was very sweet. He'd show me teddy bear. So he'd been in my house. He'd been all around my house. So he had a teddy bear, a large piece of quartz crystal. I think it was a shell out of my garden, a feather. And he did want food, like an apple or some grapes, but we couldn't have that in the building because it would attract rats and go rotten, all that sort of thing. He understood that. So I placed this basket behind the stairs in this little nook behind these stairs. And I was still fascinated by this being. After I placed the basket in there, I actually saw him in my mind. Now, I didn't know what to call him. We just called him the entity behind the stairs. He didn't give me a name, but what I could see was a very large body facing in towards the stairs. Like, he likes solitude. So people coming in and calling him out and being disrespectful, just don't do that. He liked his privacy. Leave me alone and I'll leave you alone. So big body facing towards the stair, sort of brown, scraggly, long sort of hair. I'm like, okay, this has got to be an elemental. Still didn't know what type of elemental it was. I got online with a mate of mine. And I said, look, you understand the elemental realm? And he's like, yep. I said, if I describe this to you, can you please give me some insight as to what sort of energy being you think this might be? When he heard my description, he said, it's a troll. And I went, wow, we've got a troll living in a particular building in Tasmania behind the stairs. And when I unpacked it a bit further, because paranormal addict again, I want to know the details. I want to know why he's there, what he's up to. He told me that he's a land guardian. So he is guarding. He's behind the stairs, which is highly irrelevant. It's probably just because it's a dark little place that he can be in to have his privacy. But he is a land guardian for that particular area in Hobart. And that he is simply here because he's been assigned to this place. And he stays here doing whatever it is that he does. I don't know. He never told me. Remember, he's very private. I only interacted with him when he chose to interact with me. We had that very healthy respect. So he had his basket in behind the stairs, and sometimes people would go around there for a look because they'd heard about the entity that lived behind the stairs. And they'd come out going, there's a teddy bear in a basket behind there. I'd go, yep. And like, why? Why is that there? I said, because the energy being that lives on this site, who inhabits that little nook, that little dark place behind the stairs, he asked for an offering. So I honoured what he requested. And he never, from my knowledge, had any disrespectful or He didn't scratch people anymore. He didn't, I don't know. I just don't know if anyone else went in there trying to call him out. They sort of cut back on those sorts of paranormal investigators trying to cause mischief. We were there doing very respectful tours with the residents that were on the site, with the staff that were on the site, with the children that were on the site. It was a beautiful place to work. But he was absolutely fascinating. I haven't had any more interactions with him, but I'm sure if I focused on that space behind the stairs and thought about him, he'd be here in a flash, because that's simply how it works. It's really interesting. Some of the children on that site, one boy named Josh, he would follow me home. Now, he was in that place for a particular reason, which I won't mention, but he'd follow me home for the car ride. He'd be, as soon as I think about Josh, he's here because he loves connecting with people. He's very social. So I'll know when he's in the house, I feel a certain way. But then when he's been here for a while, he's like, I'm going home now. Bye. Off he goes. Fascinating. I love it.
Sounds like a fascinating place. Wow. And yeah, you definitely want to be respectful with guardians of the land. I mean, that's, you know, whether you want to call them land spirits or genius loci or guardians, like they're powerful, and respect them definitely, because they'll fight back. Don't try and call them out. That's for sure. Oh my, that is absolutely fascinating. So in the remaining time that we have left, I would love to hear about the haunted table and also the haunted wardrobe. What have you got?
Okay. So as I mentioned earlier about furniture and homes and buildings, I pick up on the vibrations. Now, the table, actually, I want to talk about the wardrobe first, if that's okay. It's similar. I went into a lady's home for a clearing. She was insistent that I come to her house, even though I don't need to. Local house. I thought, why not go for a visit? We walked in the front door and we were heading to the lounge room, and I stopped at the first bedroom on the left. And I looked at this very large antique brown wardrobe. And that was a particular problem room in that house. And I didn't say anything. The first time I'd met these people, you don't go roaming around people's homes without their permission. So we went to the lounge room, we had a chat. I said, look, do you mind if I do what I call a walk around? So I'll walk around the land, I'll go outside, I go and look at the sheds, and I go through the house. I don't touch anything, I don't open cupboards, I'm not disrespectful. I simply use my body as a dowsing tool. Because when I do my house clearing work, I'll sit here with a pendulum. That's my tool of choice. It's a good external focal point outside my body. It helps me get out of my brain, and I use my pendulum to unpack what's in homes. But I don't take it with me because it weirds people out. So I use my body as a dowsing tool, which is really, really fascinating. So we went into this bedroom. I said, look, you know, I'll do this walk around. I'd like to start in that front room on the left-hand side. She went, oh, yeah, that's my bedroom. Can't sleep in there. It is just so uncomfortable. The wardrobe came with the house. It's very large, very antique, would weigh a ton to move it. Absolutely beautiful. Now, some of your listeners might find this a bit strange. I actually walked up to the wardrobe. Normally, I don't touch things because you're in someone else's home, the privacy, and that's their things. I found myself caressing this wardrobe. I put my left hand on the front door, and I've got my right hand just sort of doing these little circles. It's like it needed a cuddle, like it needed some attention. So I'm caressing this wardrobe. These people hadn't met me before, and they're like, what are you doing? I said, this wardrobe has got some energy attached to it that is not very nice, and I'm picking up on it, and it just needs some love. So she sent me a photo of the wardrobe. I came home and I did the clearing. Now, the people that had lived in the house beforehand, there'd been a lot of domestic violence where the wardrobe showed me. Remember I said, like, houses show me what's in homes. Sometimes furniture, if it's been really quite an extreme experience, they will actually show me these flashes for about 4 seconds of what they've experienced. So what I saw was a woman being pushed up against this wardrobe quite violently. And I went, oh. And when I asked for the dowsing, I went, yep, domestic violence. So what I did, I went through and I cleared all the energetic imprints that had been imprinted or absorbed. That's the better word. The furniture had absorbed all the domestic violence energy, also the sadness, the grief, the rage, the hostility, the anger, the resentment. It had absorbed all those emotions and it was literally a vibrating bundle of energy. So you walk in that house and you go, oh, I don't feel well. Like it almost like it hits you in the third eye and you're like, I don't know what that is, but there's something here that's not happy. So I cleared the wardrobe. It's much happier. The house is much happier. I did a full clearing for that home. But the wardrobe wanted attention, just like the entity under the stairs. He wanted his offering and he's happy. This wardrobe, it needed to be released from all this energy that it had been holding. I can't remember the time frame. It was more than 20 years. And then when I went back, because she wanted me to come back again and just check the house again. Sometimes people are a little bit nervous around house clearing. They don't quite understand the process. And she's looking at me and I looked at the wardrobe. I walked in the front door, turned to the left. I didn't need to touch the wardrobe. I didn't need to go near it. It was neutral. It wasn't pumping out this dense, dark, sort of heavy vibration. It was calm. The whole house felt a lot calmer. So that was interesting. The Huon Pine table, a friend of mine who's an energy worker, her husband inherited a Huon Pine table from his father who had passed. This was interesting. She sent me a photo of this table and she's like, I don't like it. I don't want it in the house, but it's a family sort of heirloom now. The husband has painted it, polished it. He's sanded it. He's made it beautiful. Still don't like it. I don't want it in the house. This is going to be a problem between me and my husband. So she sent me a photo and I'm looking at this table sitting here in my house going, I don't feel well. And what I instantly saw, even before I asked permission to tune into the table, I saw a man with a very big fist hitting the table so hard that the wood had this really sort of solid vibration, like it moved, like it was shocked. The wood was shocked about how hard it had been hit. And not doing mediumship again, I saw a man's face. I get these flashes when I do my sort of occasional mediumship. I saw the face of a man with a very red nose, red cheeks, really angry eyes. And he was hitting this table continuously and pointing the finger at a particular end of the table. Now, she told me nothing about the table other than it came from the father. She didn't even tell me it passed. But when I did the clearing for this table, the crux of it is that he had abused his wife verbally their whole lives. He had died of a heart attack. And I said to her, I think he's going to die of a heart attack. If that man is still alive, I'll be surprised, because his face was so red and he was angry. And the way he hit the table was like, wow. And she said, yep, he died of a heart attack. And his wife used to sit at that end of the table. And she'd actually seen him pointing the finger at her, being very accusing and being very dominating. And she was frail and she would just sit there and she would just take all this energy in, because he was a big man. Like I saw big fist, like it was massive. So like massive fist, you got to have this massive body to go with it. So once I cleansed that table, she still didn't like it. That's funny. She said, but I think I can live with it now. I don't want it in the kitchen and I don't want it in my dining area, but I think he can have it in his man cave. I'll get him to put it in there. So it went into the house. They made an agreement about where it would be kept. She still didn't like it. I think it's because maybe she didn't like the father-in-law because of the way he treated his wife, and she felt a little bit, it triggered her. So that triggering was connected to the energy that was in that table. So she's like, I can live with it now, but I still don't like it.
Oh, that's incredible. Yeah, it's amazing how these inanimate objects can pick up so much energies and if you come at it from an animist view, like even the wardrobe, it does have its desire to be free of these energies. So it's really, really unbelievably fascinating.
Wow.
And I can see how the wife's reaction to the table, like, that's the thing. There's multiple levels there. There is the reminder of the father-in-law, which, you know, that can be not so nice mentally. But at the same time, when all that energy is cleared, it becomes a very different relationship with it. So that's really amazing. Wow. Well, you have certainly had a wonderful career in cleansing homes and helping people in this way. This has been a fantastic talk with you. And so where can the listeners find your services?
So my website is spiritualbeing.com.au, and the being is BE-ING.
Fantastic. Well, I'll have all that down in the show notes below. Thank you so much for being with us, Anna. This has been a treat, and really got some good insight into house clearing today. So this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I love sharing my stories and the way I live my life, and it's been wonderful. Thank you, Eric.